Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
End around and a reverse. Here comes Jameson Williams. Explodes to the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit. Superman dive for number 9.
Blue Kool-Aid drinker. Yes, we are back.
We are back, baby. We are streaming live on YouTube. That's at DTBK. If you're listening on the podcast, subscribe on there. Or if you're hopping right now, we appreciate you being here. We're here to celebrate a Lions 33-28 victory. A game where they raced out to a 21-0 lead. And then we'll have a conversation about how they let them back into the game a little bit, but ultimately pulled it out. But before we get into all that, let's get to the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. We got Red Dog.
Yo!
Connor.
Yo!
And yo, Jay.
Hello.
All right, gentlemen. So, first of all, I just want to take a bow. I'm on my hands and knees bowing towards Sam Laporta because he had the game of his life. Oh, he stepped up.
Yeah.
He stepped up when we needed him to today. 9 catches, 140 yards, a touchdown, 140 of the 213 passing yards from Goff. Amon-Ra had 49 other ones, and then JMO had one catch, Reynolds had a catch, but I mean, basically, two production crew guys, one main guy in Laporta. What a draft pick! I just want to start this off extremely positive, because this team, they got off to a horrible start last game on Thanksgiving, came out guns a blazing in this one. But first, just on Sam Laporta, I'm going to throw it over to you, Jay. First, what are you seeing out of him now that we didn't even a few weeks ago? I mean, this is unbelievable.
Well, it's a good question. Just dripping confidence right now. And his, he's just so smooth and fluid in the way he runs his routes. I don't know. It's unbelievable. And anything, remember he was knocked for having bad hands supposedly in early preseason and stuff like that. And they were worried about his hands, man. He's one of the most sure catchers we have on that team. Incredible. And he's just clutch. Him and Amon-Ra just together, just two of the most clutch receivers I've ever seen. Just fantastic. I don't know what this else to say about him. This guy's just having a hell of a rookie year. He's going to break every record there is for a rookie tight end.
It's 66, awesome. Yeah, 64 catches on the year, 679 yards. He's on pace to get to 1,000 maybe. He's going to be really close to that especially if he gives up this ridiculous type of game. But Red Dog, how are the Lions using him? Why is Goff looking his way so much, or was it just a matchup thing today?
That because he's good, Z. He's really good, and they're using him really good. No, I mean, like UJ said, he's so damn fluid and smooth. Like, he loses no energy, he's so efficient in his movements that even cornerbacks on him are just going to struggle when he breaks those routes off so clean. No wasted movement. He's a stud. I mean, and they're using him well, and I mean, with his ability combined with just this offense's firepower, it's, he gets forgotten sometimes, flips out and makes a big, big play. It's just excellent. This dude is everything you hope for in a tight end. He blocks really well and is just an outstanding route runner.
Connor, Sam Laporta, thoughts?
I want to apologize to Sam. I benched him in fantasy, and I'm going to lose because of that.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Connor. Holy
that
cow.
That was unwise.
It's like whenever I bench him, he pops off. Whenever I start him, I should have started Kittle. I have both of them. But, man, Sam's great. And like you guys all said, it really comes down to his route running and his awareness. And I feel like he's turning into our Kelsey, where it's like if something's going bad, and the play's breaking down, you can always look downfield to Sam, and he's going to hoist in a good 12-15 yard gain and get a first for you. So That's awesome. I really love it. And we got him on a long time on a rookie deal. So we got a lot of good years ahead with him.
And just a reminder how the Lions even got to the position in the draft to get Laporta. They actually traded back from the sixth pick overall, which was the Rams pick. They
break
traded
this
the
down,
first...
Z, because I've been wanting to hear this for a while because I keep thinking about it, and I'm like, it's more convoluted than it seems at first, but go ahead.
Well, remember, they had the sixth overall pick going in the 2023 draft, and that was because the Rams had a poor season, and that first-round pick was from the Matt Stafford trade. So they trade out of the sixth spot. I think after Devin Witherspoon, they found out wasn't there, most likely. And so they trade the sixth and 81st overall pick, their first and third round selections to Arizona in exchange for Arizona's first, second, and fifth. So the 12th, 34th, and 168th pick overall. So they use the 12th, obviously, on Gibbs, 34th on Laporta, and 168th.
Trade up for Branch.
I'm going to have to go back and check that one. But
so we got 34 in the trade back.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Okay, correct. Yeah, that's okay.
So well done, Brad Holmes, managing the draft. Absolutely. Especially we can draft a tight end really high, just not in the first round. Just right at the top of the second, right outside of the first.
I'm so glad they took Kincaid first too, and that he fell to us there.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Because Michael Mayer, who a lot of people had, not us, higher. But others, had him ranked higher, and he was the third tight end pick, and he's been okay for the Raiders. That you know. Different offense, different situation. But nonetheless, great situation for the Lions.
Yep.
I mean, the thing I really like about Laporta, he's really good at positioning his body well, runs his routes extremely well, especially for a tight end. And he is a really good blocker slash, like, shed blocker. Like, he can post up for 1 second. And if you watch his technique, he's really good at, like, looking like he's going to block and then shedding and like kind of ripping underneath. He dips his shoulder really well to like get his momentum going forward. Gets off. It works in pass protection plus the pass. I think that's part of where his success lies. He's just really, really efficient and just really good technique gets where he is. And obviously the athletic ability is there.
Yeah.
One more thing about him, Z, I think is a little under because he's such a marvel physically in the way he operates, but like, I think it's just that character that they found in him. They the way they filter the for character and mindset and mentality and intelligence and football intellect and stuff, I think is really obviously showing out when with a guy like him and like he because it's a tight end. You know, athleticism only gets you so far when you're a rookie tight end. You got to have a certain level of experience or understanding of schemes and all the things you have to do because it's seen as like the second hardest position on offense after like quarterback. So, cause you have to do so much and man, he's just picked it up all in stride, like and ridiculously fast to be so effective in every phase of the game, blocking and receiving. It's just so impressive for a rookie.
Should part of our off season podcast episode, should we go to his hometown, really understand where that character comes from, from the roots?
Yeah,
he's from Highland, Illinois, which is in southwest Illinois. It looks relatively close to St. Louis, actually.
Hey, Mrs. Laporta, tell us about your son. Show up on his front porch.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it's a town of 9,900. There's a very good chance we run into several people that know him there.
That's true.
We'll just go to the bar or something downtown. Maybe know his character, like, in that sort of situation. Really, just really understand. Maybe stop a few fights or something.
We might find out some bad stories. Like... he was the wild child. No,
anyways, Connor, you're a former resident of St. Louis. Have you heard of Illinois, Madison County?
You know, I lived there for, like, a month. Really? No.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Joe now, Buck's from St. Louis. He's got that.
Okay. So let's get into. Do you want to go with the more good or go into maybe
the good or the Aaron Glenn? That's what you're asking.
Let's go some more good. Let's go some more
all
good.
Right. Let's go with the good. They started off this game electric. They come out and they score a touchdown, get a pick. Now, you can argue, we'll get into the pick part, but really nice catch by Brian Branch.
Oh, yeah.
Such great reflexes.
It shades of the Kansas City game from the first game of the year, where he's really good at picking up those bobbles. You see guys drop it all the time in the NFL. So,
oh yeah,
really good job there. And then the Lions convert. They had two not okay plays, but then on 3rd and 6, Sam Laporta over the middle. And the Lions, I was like, please don't settle for a field goal. I don't want it. And then, yes, they pounded it down 14-0 to start the game. 3 and out on the next drive. And the Lions come down at 3 plays to score again. Nice pass to Sam Laporta again on the sideline. And then Amon-Ra St. Brown, touchdown.
That was a nice touchdown.
And the Lions start 21-0. We like that, right? The Lions coming out hot, starting this game. That was a good change of pace compared to what we saw on Thanksgiving. Where's the opposite feeling?
Protecting a lead's always better than, well, not always, but it's often better than chasing.
You know, I've watched a lot of games over the years, and I even played in a few in my youth. But sometimes when a team breaks out to a huge lead like that, you know, you get this. I don't know. I get this sense of dread because I've seen it happen too many times, or a team breaks out early and you go, oh my God. Well, all that makes is the other team hunker down and get tougher. And there was so much time left in the game. And it's only natural that New Orleans came back in this thing, because it's just the way it is, man. But we hold on. So.
Or is it, UJ? Is it? Because some people would argue,
well,
there could be people on this podcast that the Lions defense is going to show up at some point that we know of, and not the one from earlier in the season. What's Ruddock?
He's pointing the wrong way, I think.
Wait, yeah, I am.
I don't know where you're pointing.
It's hard. It's like mirror. It's like,
oh, you're pointing to Connor.
Yeah, pointing to Connor.
Third time's the charm. Eventually.
You're a big proponent of relieving Aaron Glenn of his job, him moving his family out of Detroit, them having to find a new home. Find a new school. Anyways, your thoughts on Aaron Glenn right now? I know you reached on it before. Then here's another game.
And don't hold back, Connor. Don't hold back.
Let it loose, baby.
One of the worst.
I think it.
One of the worst offenses in the NFL. The Lions give up 28 points to.
I think it is concerning how good the Saints' offense looked against us, and I think a lot of teams are viewing the Lions D as a get right game. Oh, you're struggling.
Nice. I don't like
if
this.
You can't complete passes or get your run game going, just play the Lions. Aaron Glenn, door wide open. He's a very giving coordinator. Probably the most giving we've had in the last 5-10 years. Look, the Lions have an elite offense.
It is the Christmas season, Connor.
I like their I like their special teams, and I like some of their playmakers on defense. And Irvin, I thought, played a pretty good game, you know. He almost killed Derek Carr, but
he got a penalty.
I thought that was bullshit, by the way. That should have been a penalty. I know the league calls that all year.
I hate it.
That's just a clean tackle.
It's the rule.
Play of the game, though.
It is the rule, but the rule is stupid.
I'm with you, Connor. Connor, we are totally in sync. I hate the freaking rule so much. I hate it so much that I don't even recognize its validity.
Let me ask this. Are you guys not at least somewhat concerned?
I'm extremely concerned.
Okay, thank you.
Of course I'm concerned. I am too. I had no confidence our defense was going to stop them.
That's no for me, dog.
Quite honestly, the defense didn't really do that good of a job. Jameis Winston just couldn't hit an open receiver. And even on the interception early in the game, that was also a wide open receiver. The guy just dropped the ball. I mean, we were there. We took advantage of it. But it wasn't great defense. The pass rush didn't get home. Yeah. It was something we saw.
The fumble was purely the Saints fucking up.
Oh, that
wasn't like the Lions generated that.
The Lions had a good amount of luck in this game to pull out the victory, but luck is only going to take you so far in the playoffs, which is our ultimate goal here. It's a 9-3 team. We love this Lions team. Don't get us wrong.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're drinking the Kool-Aid on their season.
I got you.
But at the same time, we are concerned. Rudd Dog, try to spin it in a positive direction, even though apparently 28 points a game given up is acceptable to you. But go on.
Let me say, don't worry about a thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. Look, I'm not worried. Our defense does not look like the best defense to ever play the game right now. Oh, God. But, look, we keep ourselves – they do what we need to win the majority of the time. I know it doesn't look great in the raw stats and things, but we are 9-3, and a lot of that thanks this defense, including the turnovers. But not just the turnovers. Their ability to often stifle the run game for the other team. There's a lot of good things going on in this defense, but I will admit, you know, they're giving up more than I'd like and all that. But I think honestly, when I really look at it down to the brass tacks, where we're at in this roster rebuild It's just we're not, you know, the 49ers. We don't have four first round draft picks on our front line, or the Eagles. We don't have, you know, we're doing with guys who kind of no one really ever heard of for the most part outside of Hutch. And well, Bruce Irvin was a revelation today, which was nice. I just don't see the concern in the sense that we're just going to keep chugging, baby. This team's got the right attitude, the right mentality to just keep focusing down and hunkering down. We've been asking for just a halfway decent defense forever, and we're at least halfway decent. And this offense is so good. When this team is gelling, we can beat anybody. And I know we've been struggling a little bit, but it's a long season. We're still 9-3. I ain't worried. And the future is only brighter and brighter. You know, whatever happens this year, the future only gets brighter. And that's the exciting thing. Because people, I've seen people like arguing it both ways online, like, oh, they should have like sold out at like the trade deadline or in free agency. And it's like, then it's like, oh, but they like, they don't have the talent or what? No, they aren't committed to, oh, no future. This is going to be like a one and done window.
Well, run dog.
They're pretenders. But like, we're built to go forever. We purposely didn't sell out at the trade deadline because we're betting on a bright future. And this team, well, as nice. Is, can beat anybody. And one more thing. Let me just finish. Uh-huh. Let me finish. CD Deuce is going to come back, and it's going to be like Bob Sanders for the Colts when they won the Super Bowl that year. He's going to electrify our defense to get us through a badass playoff run, and we're going to take it all. I ain't worried.
All right. Well, none of that made me feel better about the Lions defense currently.
Yeah, that's your choice.
Basically, they're building for the future is what you're saying.
No,
so
I'm saying
sucks now.
I think we got the horses now. We just need to, you know, keep working as a team. I just don't think we have the obvious, like, roster personnel to be listed among the top defenses yet.
Well, they've rated as the worst defense the last 5 weeks. I don't know
if they're 9-3.
A concern for you. Like I said, apparently you're okay with giving up 26 points a game. So. What do they've averaged last five
that
games
way.
Against bad.
I think about 9-3.
Not even the Eagles, not even the 49ers. Yeah,
yeah. Well, what did the Eagles do today? Gave up 40 plus points too.
Yeah, well they hit a wall. They hit a wall like we did last week. We hit a wall last week. So
I ain't worried.
But it hasn't been a constant thing over the course of like a month and a half, 2 months for them.
What's our record over that stretch?
What's our record?
Yeah,
we lost the game.
Oh no, one.
I think. What Big Z's
well, this goes
to
back
is.
To the Ravens game, so we've lost two games actually in that time frame. Red Dog.
Out of how many?
Yeah. If we're barely beating bad teams because our defense is so bad, what happens when we run into the Niners or the Eagles in the playoff?
I just didn't think
playoffs a whole new story.
Okay with accepting something below mediocrity. Like this is not even mediocre.
Look,
you said it's it is a bad defense. Right
don't
now.
You? I get out. This is a long term rebuild, but don't you want to do something this year too?
I said we're going to win the Super Bowl, so yeah, I think so.
It's kind of a revelation when you pull a 36-year-old guy off his couch and bring him in, and he improves your defense. We're struggling on that defensive line a little bit. And the symbiotic relationship between the defensive line and the secondary is just not working. We had one coverage sack today, which was – that was awesome. When's the last time you've seen a coverage sack? It's been a while. So, We need help or we need improvement. And I don't know if it's scheme.
They blitz more.
And here's another thing. Yeah. I just want to say that about blitzing. Every time we blitz, it seems so obvious to the opponent. And then they hit us with a screen pass or hit us with something like how did they know? They just know, like we're just telegraphing or something. We don't hide blitzes. We don't blitz much enough as it is. You know, I think we should incorporate that in the game a little more to try to get a little more pressure because we're not doing it with our line. So, I mean, That's on Glenn, in my opinion. So
I agree. I would agree. They watch like a Brian Flores defense for the Vikings. Watch how they disguise their blitzes. It's much better. They like to play like seven guys almost up at the line, and then you don't know who's coming from where. You see that? I think the Chiefs do that fairly often. But definitely Brian Flores. If you want to see someone, he blitzes at the highest rate in the league. So. Has more opportunities to get creative because he does so often. But
statistically, this defense definitely struggles. But like, I think in the context of these games, it's not like we've won in spite of them every game. They often are a reason and contribute to our wins. Like they either get turnovers or they get enough holds to win the game. Or like, you know, even in games where our offense puts them well behind the eight ball, they kind of pick up the slack. I mean, the stats just don't tell the whole story. We're 9-3. And it's not just by magic. This defense contributes to winning. I know they need to get better. I'm not arguing that. They can't, you know, giving up points like that is unsustainable. But I think when they get their shit right, and I think they're going to get even better down the stretch here, especially when we get CeeDee back and we get hopefully Houston back, that would be great. But
Houston back would be huge.
Well, yeah.
So huge.
Well, folks, like, you know, we all drink the Kool-Aid here, okay? But Rudd Dog here is an example of someone who overdoes it and has a Kool-Aid
problem.
Am I?
Because I'm sorry. I'm not the one building a stomach ulcer during the middle of the game because I have to, like, get super anxious about it. And I just know we're going to win when you guys are all crying the whole game. We won, like I predicted. So what?
We all predicted they'd won.
Yeah, we all predicted.
You're not unique in that.
Well, the chats don't seem your comp. I don't see the confidence in your predictions during the chats of the game, okay?
Oh, well.
Are you finished?
Yeah.
Are you done now?
Go, Connor.
Or do you want to rant for another 45 minutes about
this defense
is perfect?
So, you guys,
do you like ignoring the fact that we have, like, one of the best offenses in the league? You're like,
I think our offense is great.
Yeah.
Why am I ignoring the offense? How? Where?
I'm just saying, you're like, the defense is doing enough to win us games, but I think it's more the offense.
They're both
top five units.
Like, technically are, because we're winning the games.
It's a team effort, and the defense is doing enough to win most of our games. So
let's get off this argument and press on, gentlemen.
But it's kind of the core argument, especially amongst the Lions fans, I feel.
This is what's on everyone's mind.
It's the biggest issue by far.
I will tell you something. I do think Campbell, remember a couple years ago when he fired Pleasant or whatever that guy's name was, the cornerbacks coach, and we turned our defense around, right? Well, I think in my mind, or at least my mind, that Campbell's got to be thinking about this defense, and it's eating at him. And his buddy, Aaron Glenn, you know, I mean, he's at a tipping point in his career almost, like, where he's a potential head coach and all this stuff, and he's with a good team. If you were to do something to demote him somehow, it would be really bad. It would be bad optics. It would be bad for his buddy, his good friend, and all that. I think he's riding this one out to the end, at least this season, and see what happens. But
so you're saying Dan Campbell would fire him if it wasn't
personal?
We should
sacrifice.
He might.
A coach.
He might.
That's what you're saying. Like,
it worked
the D-line
once.
Coach.
It worked once.
Linebackers coach. Who can we sacrifice?
I mean, here's the problem. I think the biggest problem is the pass rush, because if you saw, like, the Lions today on third and longs, they had to blitz somebody to try to get pressure on.
Yeah.
And then them blitzing opened up passing lanes for the Saints to convert. That just can't happen, especially on the third and 15s.
Yeah,
we're just shitty at blitzing. We need to get better at it.
I don't know.
Disguise it better.
Turn around, yeah. I'm not sure how you turn around this late in the season.
I don't either.
Well, they did it last year, some of them. But then again, you know, there was everyone talks about the firing, but I think the biggest thing was the revelation of James Houston last year. You got another dynamic pass rusher to complement Hutch. And, you know, this Bruce Irvin development is promising.
Well, it was promising,
But, you know, we need
It was promising in the sense that somebody besides Aiden Hutchinson made a play off the edge for us, which we haven't really
And by the way,
game.
I feel bad for Hutch, man. They are just I was keying on him a lot today just to see, you know, if it's really Hutch or they are just sending two guys on him every play. It's brutal.
No one else is a threat.
He is the biggest uphill battle when he goes into the game. He's working so hard out there, man. He's just working his ass off, and he's just
back to Holmes.
And then they're just double teaming him every play. It's not for lack of effort. I'll tell you that.
No. We never followed Hutch for lack of effort. That's for sure.
If you want to start pointing fingers, then you know Brad Holmes.
I mean, we had a large discussion: would the Lions get somebody to trade the line, and they didn't.
If you want to talk about Brad Holmes, you could talk about Jalen Carter.
Jalen Carter or the trade deadline, I think, is an argument that's not as good because, like, it's not like we get, you know, Montez Sweat for the same price the Bears do, because if the Bears offer their second versus ours, they're going to take the Bears second over ours easy. We're going to have to pad that even more. You're just assuming we can get these for the value they went for, which, you know, probably not with our record. You know, so, like, I'm just saying, like, and then what are you doing? You're sending big resources after guys who are, not necessarily, you know, the most wanted. Sweat, I would have been a little interested in, but like, I don't like what's his name? Young would
Chase
have
Young.
Been like a big resource dump into him with the injury pass and stuff. Well, I think wouldn't have been worth it. And I like that's what, like, so I do think the long term view is a huge part of why we're at where we're at in our roster, which we're 9-3 with a roster that, you know, on defense isn't the most impressive in that front. I mean, it's clear that next year we got to dump major resources into our front, really just our pass rush, just the edge rushers and D tackles. I think that's clear because
well, I think
like,
part of it is
that Buchanan.
Well, I think the Lions were hoping to get more out of their second round draft picks and Pascal and Levi. Yes. They thought they'd be more developed at this point. Broderick Martin hasn't even played this year.
Right.
I think Houston was a big factor too.
Huh?
Houston was a big factor too, and he got injured so early.
He was, but we didn't even draft him.
What?
He was undrafted free agent. Right?
What? Oh, no, he's six. We drafted him, but then we cut him. We drafted him, cut him, and then re-signed him.
You're right, you're right.
And he broke out.
You're right. But no, I mean part of the problem is that our draft picks haven't panned out at the D line in the second round too.
True. So
I think they were hoping maybe to not invest money into that.
And that's the thing, like Pascal is just getting more and more reps. I still think he's gonna get better and better. We got some developing
good run
guys.
Stopper. The knock on him coming out of college is that he's not a good pass rusher.
Well, you know, they moved him more inside lately, and I think he's a little more effective there. You know, from the inside.
Yeah, he's a little quicker inside.
Yeah.
As a pass rusher or
just playing inside. I think he's been able to make a few more plays, probably mostly in the run game, but still he seems more effective. He's not effective from the edge.
The Lions in the run game are largely okay. Like they gave up a big one to Taysom early in this game, but they adjusted there. I will say that
they did.
Didn't really have a big run after that. But it's the pass game.
It's the pass rush specifically, yeah. And I mean like that much is clear, like, you know, whatever blue tinted glasses I'm looking through, like there's no doubt our pass rush is just not nearly as effective as we need it to be.
And also to be fair though, I think in this rebuild, if we look back on it in a macro sense, I think we're like ahead of where we were hoping to be. So like now we're feeling a little regret that we're not good enough. Oh, we're not quite there yet. We're actually a little ahead of, though, I think, the plan.
Yeah.
Like, well, when you compare our years over building our roster to, like, the 49ers and the Eagles, it's not.
Well, we were missing Anzalone today. So there was a combination of Campbell got a start. He had the green dot. Barnes out there. Rodrigo again in there as well. And then Jalen Reeves-Maven probably is the most flashy. He made some big plays. Yeah. He was all over the place on special teams.
He was.
He's killing a man possessed on special teams. What do we think of Campbell out there today? I thought he started off really well, kind of with the rest of defense.
Yeah. And then he got a natural position. Looked good.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a decent game.
When it comes to pass defense for him, he's still lacking a little bit. But
you think so?
He's definitely the worst rated linebacker in the league in pass pro. So.
Really? I thought it was like we dropped in a bunch of zones today. Was he in man coverage at all or?
I have to go back and look, but I mean there was
I just didn't notice them much in pass coverage.
I mean, you have the Lions got the break early on in the game with Brian Branch catching the tip pass, but then I feel like karma kind of bit him back when Branch tipped it to Olave.
Well, there's I want to talk about that. Branch is the most selfish player on this team. You know, that was headed right for Jerry Jacobs. He was just waiting for the ball coming in his hands, and Branch says, I'm not gonna let you take this. And but you know, he tips it away. You know, so selfish.
That was a bit unlucky.
You might argue that.
So unlucky.
St. Brown is selfish, too, because that one that Goff was throwing at Donovan Peoples-Jones in the back of the end zone wide open, he jumped up and knocked away.
Yeah.
Thinking
yeah.
It was for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, yeah, that was the great thing. Like, Jameson Winston, like, that ball was nowhere near his player. Like, it took a good defensive play to make it a completion.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, Campbell had 9 tackles, Barnes had 9 tackles, Walker and Branch had 7 each. Kirby Joseph got beat again bad in this game. Luckily, Derek Carr had a horrible lead underthrown pass.
Yes.
To catch up. But that's 2 weeks in a row we've seen him bite on the underneath route and get beat over the top.
Must be a tendency.
Yeah, he's got to adjust soon to that. That's something a team like the Eagles are going to exploit for sure, or the 49ers.
Oh, yeah.
but it was okay for now. Incomplete today. but it wasn't incomplete last week when he bit on it on the opening play. That was like almost very similar to the opening play of the Packers game last week.
That was Tracy Walker, though, wasn't it, on that Packers
game? Oh, you're right. Ah, shoot, you're right. It was Walker, my bad.
Yeah.
But maybe, is there something our safeties are doing?
Just why we need to see
yes, it is our safeties. They're not getting deeper than the receiver. I mean, they're just somehow letting these guys go by him. So it's got to be on them. I mean, it's their job. They're the safety. Yeah. They're supposed to prevent that. Well, like Walker against the Packers and Kirby in this one, you know. So, and Kirby's been quiet this year, you know, strangely. You know, we were looking at him to be this, like, breakout player because of what he did last year. And he's just sort of been quiet, if you ask me. He made plays here and there, but, you know.
Actually, I thought our safeties were more notable, like, when Iffy was in there, a little more physical.
You know what happened to Iffy? Is he out?
No, he's there. He's just not. He's not really getting in too much. Exactly. They still prefer to have like Kirby and company in over him. But
do you guys remember the Colts Super Bowl run with Peyton Manning?
Yeah.
Any chance? Yes. That year their defense was like garbage, and except for they had a great offense, and then
they had
it was
elite
like the first
rush.
Game of the playoffs. And they were playing against, I think it was the Chiefs, and they had like Priest Holmes or someone great, like a really good running back. But Bob Sanders, who had been out all year, like finally made his return and like just transformed the entire defense. They went on a run right through the playoffs and went. I think getting CJGJ, getting CD Deuce back in the lineup could be an absolute like boost to this team. And he's already been making hints about this month.
He claims the first Vikings game he'll be back for.
That would be awesome.
We'll see.
That would really help.
His talent, man.
That would really help.
We need a guy who understands how to be near the ball like he does.
I do agree he would bolster the secondary, but he's not going to bolster the pass rush.
He might bolster, but like we finally got a coverage sack today. Like he would add to that potentiality at the freaking least. Like,
I don't disagree with you there.
The Colts had two good pass rushers in that defense.
Well, if we get Houston back.
Well, they did.
If Irvin keeps doing what he's doing did today, I think that could change a lot. You know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this defense they're going to keep getting, guys like Pascal are going to keep getting better with experience. If I take all my Kool-Aid out of my system, there's concern, whatever, but I ain't worried.
You can have Kool-Aid in your system and still be concerned, bro, dog.
No. My concern.
That's just called delusion. We're a Kool-Aid drinker.
No, it's just a choosing not to be worried.
Can anyone name the other?
Is worthless.
Can anyone name the other pass rusher for the Colts on that defense? There was Dwight Freeney. That was one I remember.
Mathis.
Yeah, that was one I couldn't remember.
That was one of the greatest combos ever, man. Those two guys were unbelievable. For several years, they were really good.
Yeah, for sure. But let's throw back at the offensive side. A couple of really good things. Obviously, the run game continues to grind it out really well. 4.7 yards a carry. That, of course, included a 36-yard run by Gibbs.
Yeah,
19-yard reverse to J-Mo, which was beautifully done.
Yeah,
oh my god,
awesome.
J-Mo went for the poster shot too, didn't he? At the end there. The Superman dad.
Yeah, he did.
Those are the kind of ways I'd like to see them use his speed. He's just so fast.
It was good to see him. Did you see this? Throw to him one target this game.
That's my concern. He did catch one nice pass early.
Yeah, one on his target. Yeah.
Oh, you said one target. I thought you said no target.
Did you see the stat on Jama?
What?
Oh, I'm sorry. Jameson Williams reached a top speed of 20.7 miles an hour on his 19-yard end around. And he's done reached 20 plus on 4 of his 16 touches this year. 20 plus miles an hour. 25%.
That's awesome. I actually was curious about his speed. And that feeds right into what I was going to say is like I'm just annoyed that we don't try to enforce our will a little bit more deep with guys like him. Like, let's just take some shots. Like, I feel like our offense is very determined to take what they get sometimes instead of just enforcing their will. And I express this like are we just gonna forget that whole comeback was spurred on by like what, like four or five straight three and outs by our offense. Like, it wasn't like the defense was the only one to blame for that comeback. The offense just went like into hibernation in the middle of the game after getting 21 points. Like, so, I mean, I mean, the offense is great, but, you know, they contribute to the way the games go. And today they were struggling during the middle part of the game, despite all the points we scored. And sometimes I just feel like we got a super fast guy. Look at what the freaking like Dolphins do. They just let Tyreek run and then chuck it. Like, why don't we do something like that more?
I would like to see that a little more, though, to be honest.
Well, Tyreek's one of the best receivers in the league.
He is.
So it's not quite the same.
But he's got that speed. Jamo's got that speed, though. If we just turn him loose a little bit, you know,
they do need to turn him loose, even just throw it. Yeah, like
just as a threat.
Doesn't it make you wonder if they're holding out for the end of the season, like to turn him loose? Does that make you wonder a little bit? I mean, I
hope that's the case. That'd be great.
It's a hell of a thing, though. That's what they're doing.
We should open him up soon, though, because I don't know.
I know. I know, but I do love the kid's grit, man. He's a hard-nosed player. I mean, he blocks well downfield. He's exciting, man. He needs to get the ball in his hands more. Mm-hmm. We need to get him more. Oh, so can I just talk 1 second about Jared Goff, please? He had a nice comeback game here for him.
Yeah.
He's been getting crapped on a little bit lately, and partly because of his own doing. But just a terrific game by him, throwing some dimes, man, through some tight windows. And that last pass for the first down to
David
Reynolds
Montgomery.
Was fucking – no, that to Reynolds to get the first down to seal the game.
Oh.
He was under huge duress, running through the pocket, gets hit while he's doing this weird jump pass and gets it, completes the ball to him for the first down to seal the game. That was an awesome play. Awesome play by him.
And the Montgomery one would have been maybe arguably his best throw of the year if he completed it.
You
rarely see him try a Patrick Mahomes-esque throw, like moving forward, sidearm, off to the side.
That should have been caught, too. Yeah. That was like right
absolutely
in his chest.
It should have been caught.
Like he was really, I thought like he was really good in the pocket today. I mean, he took some sacks, but that was mainly because the O-line whiffed more than on him. But like, he was very active in the pocket, moving up like that pass to Montgomery, the pass to Reynolds. There was a couple more where he made some nice – he was very active. He wasn't just a statue back there. I thought he looked really good today. I mean, it wasn't his best, like, yards or anything, but he dropped some dimes. Like that one to St. Brown over the deep middle where he just, like, threw a bullet right into his hand.
Yeah, that was sweet.
Three guys, just perfect. He's done it a lot this year, too.
Yep.
Yeah, he definitely looked like much more like the Jared Goff we've been used to throughout the year.
Yeah,
today
his tiny hands held onto the ball for each of those sacks. So credit to Goff, he's a stud.
The Lions will. I mean, Frank Ragnow continues to just like barely hang in there this year. Seems like every time there's like a pile, I'm worried that Frank Ragnow won't get up, and he didn't. Well, he was out for.
That did change a lot with this offense too when Ragnar.
Yeah, Sorsdahl is just not up to pass protection right now.
He needs more violent hands. That one spin move, he just kind of like puts his hands out in front of him. Like I don't know what he's like. He's going to catch the guy, and the guy just like freaking spins right into his left arm and just sealed him right off, straight up the middle. Luckily, Goff saw it coming and was able to get rid of it. But I think that was the one where St. Brown messed up the throw. But, he is struggling in that pass, bro. And same with Sewell, though. What the hell was that today? Like,
Sewell had a couple rough moments today.
He just missed completely on that.
That's a couple weeks in a row now. He's been a little
rough
off.
Stretch.
I wonder if he's injured or something, because that's just unlike him.
But see, like, you talk about like worrying about Frank Ragnow. I just worry, like, as soon as we get all five, you know, someone's getting injured. We're at
they
full strength
play together.
One dude is going down soon, you just know it. It's like ridiculous.
I think that is really critical to a deep playoff run is if the O-line can get healthy. If all get healthy,
agree.
That's why they need to clinch the division. I mean, they might be battling for a 2 or 3 seed here at the end if they keep up the pace,
or a 1 seed because we're still in range.
Yeah,
Eagles just lost today. They only need to lose one more to tie them.
I'll update that really quick. So the Eagles lose; they go to 10-2. Still a game over San Francisco and the Lions at 9-3. San Francisco would have the tiebreaker over the Eagles. The Lions would need a lot of help to leapfrog these two because San Francisco has a better San Francisco and the Eagles both have a better conference record right now.
Man, so. The Niners look good too. They just
they did. They look great today.
They rolled today.
Yeah, when they're all healthy, they look really good. When they're not all healthy, it's a star-led team. Like, they don't have a lot of depth behind their stars. They're really exposed. But when all their stars are playing, it's...
they're probably the best team in the league when they're completely healthy.
Right. They look really, really good. But for a stretch, they're like Trent Williams, George Kittle, Deebo Samuel were out. They look like one of the worst teams in the NFL, actually. But then they get these guys in. It's a different... I don't know how the Lions are possibly going to get any sort of pass rush on that offensive line without some major changes.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
At some point, you got to look at scheme changes.
Personal Aaron Glenn will figure it out.
Yeah. That's right. If anybody will, Connor, it's Aaron Glenn.
Oh, yes. Aaron Glenn will figure it out.
Well, after that, then it's the Falcons as a 4. Cowboys are 9-3 as a 5 seed, which is. Tough break for them, but they do play the Eagles next week. They could leapfrog them.
I never feel bad for the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Never. I hate them.
Minnesota's on a bye week. They're still the 6th seed at 6-6. The Rams won. The Lions and Rams are dangerously close to playing in a playoff game against each other.
Lions-Rams could be the playoff match.
Wouldn't that be something, man? Oh, God.
We better get pass rush.
Stafford against his old team. Oh boy!
Do we have to ban Kidjay for a little bit? If the Rams,
we might have to.
We might. He's predicting Rams victories and stuff.
He might sabotage the pod.
He might.
The Seahawks are out.
Everyone knows as our pod goes, the Lions go. So.
Yeah. He could probably make it look like we're all wearing Rams stuff or something, you know, like
that's
technical prowess,
like
you know, like he can do something to sabotage.
It's AI, man. I don't like.
Yeah. Seattle's at 6-6. They're out of the playoff hunt. And then Green Bay's playing right now. They're up 14-12.
They are. I live bet the Chiefs when they were down big.
It's 14-12 right now.
That's a good bet, Connor. That's a good bet.
Out of the hunt, Z?
Thank you.
No, they're out of the playoff right now. They're not.
You said playoff hunt. That's what. Okay.
No, and they're the nine. They would be. They're in the ninth seed right now. If they win this,
they're
game,
in the hunt.
They get above Seattle, actually.
I saw the Bears were technically in the hunt graphic. That was really funny.
Yeah. They're 2 games out of the playoffs.
I actually would not be mad if both like the it's probably impossible. If like the Packers or the Bears made the wild card. I really don't. I like when. Your division gets repped as long as we win.
I don't want the Bears making the playoffs because that means they probably beat the Lions.
I don't either.
Well, I mean, if the Bears are making the playoffs, they'll beat. If they make the playoffs, they would have to have beaten the Lions.
Oh, well, then never mind.
Sunday.
Never mind.
Where the Lions, obviously, after the home game against the Bears are not going to be an easy game.
Nope.
No division game ever is, really.
No NFL game is an easy
especially
game.
Especially when Aaron Glenn is going against the mobile quarterback.
There are exceptions. The Panthers or the Patriots. It's a little easier.
I mean, yeah, on a given day, maybe, but like on what they might also just show up and roll your ass. You never know in the NFL.
The Patriots would be such a get right game for our defense. I wish we could
play. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Their
no
offense
kidding.
Is so bad.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
It's like,
so I guess it was Brady over after all, huh?
Belichick's probably gone after this year. It's crazy.
That if I were Belichick, I'd resign after this. I'd quit.
Yeah, before you get fired.
Some sorry ass team is going to hire him too.
Like if people think the Jets offense is bad, the Patriots have scored 23 points less than them. They scored 148 points this year. The Lions have scored 180 more points than the Patriots offense.
That's crazy.
148 points the Patriots have scored. That's not good.
Oh my God, that's horrible.
It's about 12 points a game.
Jeez,
just a little over. But anyways, so the Lions right now, if the season ended today, they'd be playing the Vikings in a playoff game. But obviously, subject to major change because the Lions play the Vikings twice amongst, you know, there's still 5 weeks left in the season.
That's
crazy.
We still got a gauntlet to run, baby.
The Lions did get flexed to Sunday night in 2 weeks against the Broncos at home in Detroit. So that's pretty cool. The Lions play great in primetime. Maybe that's what they need, just to play primetime
more.
And the playoffs will be primetime. So we got
so we won't lose. Saturday game, actually.
So we can't lose.
The regular season is usually a pretty bad reference for the playoffs. The playoffs are a whole new season. So if once we make it, it's just a whole new season and everything changes. It's a new slate. Once you're in the tournament, baby, all bets are off. Like it's, you know, and this team has at least the tools, I think, to be able to pull it off. You know, will we have to overcome some deficiencies maybe? You know, yes. Fine, I'll have to cool it down for a second. Yes, we have them, guys. We have deficiencies. But I still think we got enough that, you know, if we play the ball, we know this team can, like, we can beat anybody. I still believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, we definitely believe we can beat them. It's just
I just think we have to rely too much on our offense.
Yes.
And, you know, and what about we're going to go as far as our offense takes us, basically, at this point.
Maybe.
UJ spitting facts over there.
Spitting facts, baby.
You know who also went on a bad off or a bad defense and a good offense last year? The Chiefs won the Super Bowl with that formula, so it's possible.
Their defense is much
better. Their defense was not bad, though.
Yeah.
Their defense was not that bad. It might have been not the number one defense, but it was pretty decent.
Yeah. I think you're confusing average defenses with the worst defense, in 5 weeks, which is us right now.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
We still had two turnovers. We won the turnover margin today. It's all right.
We did.
We did, which is super key.
Yeah, absolutely. That was key. Well, they rectified that.
I mean, this was a game where they're booing their starting quarterback in the first quarter and end up going wild for him and missing him by the fourth quarter.
I wanted Jameis in this game, and like, we got him.
Yeah. He did. It was sweet.
Love him.
Playing a team like the Saints, though, is like kind of like riding a bronking bull, though. Like, they're not like an all-around terrible team. They're a bad overall team, but they are not an untalented team. Like, their offense is not like they put up a lot of yards. They move the ball a lot. We, you know, let them score a little more than most teams do, but like they're a prideful, talented team. They just aren't a good overall team, and that's what we are. I think the Lions are a really good overall team with deficiencies in certain places, but we play as a team and we play complementary football like Dan Campbell is pushing for. And when you keep doing that, anything's possible. And that's where I'm not worried.
We're definitely a good team. We're 9-3. Like,
exactly.
None of us are arguing that. I think we're just concerned with the defense.
I know.
The sustainability.
Yeah.
As Bob Marley would say.
All right.
Okay. So the Lions only have one road loss on the year, which is pretty,
that's pretty remarkable.
Especially for Lions history on the road. It's
even
more remarkable. But the Lions have 5 games left, so they travel to Chicago this Sunday. And what is the weather in Chicago?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah,
that impacts golf to a degree historically.
Yeah, but when you got Gibbs and Montgomery, who cares?
It's going to be 36 and cloudy on Sunday.
Yep, 36 and cloudy. That's right.
That's actually a great day for Chicago in early December.
Is. Perfect weather.
Yeah, so if it stays like that, if it's rain or something, that'll make it a little more interesting. We travel to Chicago, then home on Saturday night in prime time against the Broncos on the 16th. Then on Christmas Eve, we get the gift of the Vikings in Minnesota. Then the Cowboys on Monday Night Football on December 30th. And then New Year's Eve, and then the Vikings at home to end the season.
That's Christmas Eve. What time is that game?
Noon. It's a nooner.
Okay.
Good afternoon delay.
You can go to church before you go to church.
Yeah, go to church the night before.
The house of golf.
Right.
Blasphemous.
Praise be.
Well, I think we're going to wrap it up here.
I just wanted to talk about Gibbs and Montgomery a little
bit. Sure, sure. Yeah, we could talk about that.
We should.
They had a tremendous performance today between the two of them. They put up some numbers, and they were really good.
And especially Gibbs, really efficient.
Gibbs is getting so good now. Like, his cuts and, like, the way he's settling down and, like, in these places where the space is eaten up and he still is, like, he's not panicking and just putting his head down and like, diving into a pile. He's, like, reading it, stepping back in and around a dude, and then like churning four again some yards. Like, he is looking so good right now, and the combination of those two, I think, is just, that's a big reason why our offense is, you know, so good.
And Gibbs's toughness is, I don't know if it's underrated or not, but man, he just, it doesn't matter. Like, he can run middle of the line through the, it doesn't matter, and he gets hit, he gets knocked down, he jumps right back up. you feel just confident in this kid that he's going to handle anything that comes, you know, where, you know, so it's really fun to watch. It's so much fun. This combo is incredible.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Gibbs gets more carries in a playoff game. Maybe they're saving him a little bit for the end because, I mean, he's definitely the more explosive of the two.
Yeah.
I mean, Montgomery fills his role, and he's looked very good in that role, undoubtedly. But Gibbs just offers a little more, especially as he gets more comfortable with his vision and stuff in the NFL.
That's why
I don't know.
The balance is perfect because you don't want to cut away at his lifespan in the league any more than you have to. And if you need to lean on him, fine. But if you don't, all the better to have two good guys like that and let Montgomery. Because when Montgomery's in there, you know he can hit a home run too. He hit a 75-yarder this season. Like, and I just think now it's really nice because Gibbs doesn't have that like hesitancy or that like shyness that he had early on. And he's really starting to thrive out there. And it's just making this offense that much more lethal.
Yeah, and credit to our run blocking, credit to the play calling for the run.
Yes,
totally.
That continues to be elite for the NFL.
And just one comment on that JMO end around, that double reverse. He was 15 yards back of the line of scrimmage when he got that ball. 15 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, think of that.
It took a long time to develop, too. It was like a
I know. He had to run so far. Yeah, that was just amazing.
You know, and I will say that one thing about our defense is when the Saints try to do anything long developing like that, we tended to chew it right up. Like, we were blowing stuff up in the backfield. Honestly, the most annoying thing right now is that it's just sitting in the pocket and passing is, like, our worst enemy. We need to get better at stopping.
Yep.
But, tore that angle up so fast.
Yeah, it was awesome. Well, I'm excited to go back and look at this film, at least from an offensive side of things.
And we got two turnovers.
We did. They're gifts. I mean, we took advantage. The Brian Branch one was a good play still from us. The other one was literally just fumbled it right to our guy.
And, you know, like, this defense, though, like, it's weird because, like, they do get beat, but, like, they make it harder on offenses than it seems, but with the stats would tell, because it seems like we'll, like, make a couple good plays, and then they'll convert, like, a 3rd and 7 or something.
Third and long is killing
They're
us.
Just not consistent enough.
Killing us.
Well, yeah.
That is something that's been consistent in the Eric Glenn era, too, by the way. They were better down the stretch, actually, last year, the second half of the season last year. But outside of that including this year, it's been not so great. It's bringing me back to 2 years ago in the first year of the Eric Glenn defense. But
for first half last year defense.
Yeah, that too. But all right, we're gonna wrap it up here.
All right.
The Lions win 33-28. Another great victory. 9-3 they move to another step closer to the playoffs. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens in this Packers game. And see if the Lions can get another game on them. Although I don't know if you guys had a game on the background. We're doing this. Jordan Love threw like a backwards pedaling 20-yard pass on 4th and 1 to convert.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Oh, jeez.
Brutal.
Hey, the Packers, like, honestly, our division is not that far away from being pretty damn tough. Like I think every team, like, even the Bears, are not that far away from being decent with a few right moves.
Yeah, they have good defense. The Lions will be challenged again next year.
Yeah.
So we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for everybody who watched us on YouTube tonight. That's at DTBK. If you didn't, if you're listening on the podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Search DTBK, search Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, subscribe to the channel so you get notified of our live streams, usually on Sundays at 8 p.m. Although we'll have some different times with these Lions playing in prime time, a few of these later ones in the season. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter /X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on this Lions team, both on the offense and the defensive side of the ball. And thank you to our producer,
KJ.
Good one. Thanks to our producer, KJ, for doing a great job on the podcast. Really appreciate that. Thanks to Sideline Report patreon.com for contributing or supporting the podcast, I should say. And thank you to our listeners, especially to you, for sticking around with us all year, drinking blue Kool-Aid along with us as we march on to the Super Bowl. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. Have a great night. And last but not least, as always, go
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory. Go, go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.